in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, neither give place to the devil, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I've put these verses together to let you see that according to the Word of God, according to the will of God, we are to have zero fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That means that we need to be Jacobs in our home, and we need to purify our homes of all ungodliness. Jacob changed the garments on his household, put away the idols out of their house, and you need to do some house cleaning if we need God's power and fellowship on our life. Because you have to draw nigh to God if you want Him to draw nigh to you. And you might say, well, these things don't matter. Friend, I hope you see that some of the things the Christians thought did not matter, we see now they became seeds, and those seeds sprouted. And look at what's in the world today. Look at what we have reaped today because of that compromise that our forefathers made. Purify your house. And if you think it doesn't matter, I want you to remember that little boy or that young man that grabbed a hold of that Babylonian garment and he hid it with his stuff, and you saw how God cursed Israel. They did not have the victories that they needed to have. And I tell you, I'm speaking to you today. We need to purify our homes, and you need to keep it clean for the sake of God, keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Do you hear what I'm saying today? It is true. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you give me the ability to preach this morning. We ask God that you give the folks the ability to hear today, God. Give them ears, Lord. Help us be obedient unto thy word today, Father. We love you. May you be glorified in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to see these verses that I put together here, giving no place to the devil, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The title of my message today is not a joke. It's Mother Goose is a Witch. And I'm going to tell you something. That's just a foundation of a lot that has happened in the history of America, the history of Europe. And that this is how we are where we're at today. Now, I know they would love to get in the media and make fun. Some pastor over there believes Mother Goose is a witch. Can you believe it? But you know what? I defy anybody to prove me wrong. And I want to show you today that it's this type of nonsense that laid the groundwork for Harry Potter and this vampire twilight satanic mess today. And every time anybody in church says, you know, some nice elderly lady sits over there convicted and says, maybe our children shouldn't be going to the vampire movie. You know what? All of these people say, oh, come on, it's just fun. See, once you open the door, how are you going to shut it? How are you going to shut it? And the door's been opened. I don't need to remind you where we're at today, but I will. Parents are fighting all across the country. They have been for a number of years now, trying to get Harry Potter out of the schools. Because now when you go to public school, they sit here and read it before the class. And you've got not only occultism and Crowleyism, you've got not only theosophy and masonry. I prove it. I defy anybody to prove me wrong. I've been on the radio proving it. I defy anybody to prove it is not Crowleyism. Anton LaVey, Crowleyism. Crowleyism, ever since Harry Potter was published, all over Europe, they've had an increase. The kids are getting into witchcraft because she even puts the names in the book. Blavatsky, she gives you the great witch sorcerers and lets the kids go look them up in the computer. She gives them a lesson in witchcraft with real spells. It's wicked. You know that. Now, notice New York Times in the year 2000. Teenagers and witchcraft. They practice sorcery to exert power over their existence. Isn't that what it's about? Witchcraft, says the Bible. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. They go together. Because you know why rebellion is just like witchcraft, and witchcraft is just like rebellion? Because What you're doing is trying to get a hold of some power without being obedient unto God. What you're trying to say is, I'm going to take control of my life, have power over my life and over my circumstances, but I'm not going to submit to God. I'm not going to pray into Him. Jesus says, unless you abide in Me, you can do nothing. There is no power. He says, all power is given unto Me. I tell you what, Satan has to bow before the Lord Jesus. Do you understand that? If Jesus wanted to, He says, come here. And the devil has to come trembling and bow his knee. And the Lord says, I allow you to do this. And I allow you to do this. Now go, get your hints. And I'm going to tell you something. Our Lord is so much more powerful than Satan. Don't you ever believe that Satan has power that you can have over your life. I tell you what, Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just remember that. But these teenagers, they want power. They want some type of control that's not of God. Oh, doesn't that sound just like the devil? Look at Genesis 3. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods. So if the devil used it on women, he uses it on kids. Do you see it? I'll give you power. And here they are in public schools reading this Harry Potter witchcraft and promising these kids power. Oh, God forbid. 2001, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Teen interest in Wicca on the rise. Wicca is witchcraft. WorldNet Daily, 2003. Boy wizard changing teens into witches? Wiccan group says Potter books boost interest in witchcraft. Do you see what's happening? Do you see it? NPR, New Religion in America, 2004. Teens seem to be drawn to Wicca, among other reasons, because it can be tailored to the individual's needs. You become your own god. You can invent your own religion. It conforms to your morality, whatever you think it should be. Oh, how wicked. This is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in 2 Timothy 3. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I've proven on our website, I'm not going to go into it right now. I've given you the quotes from the Masons. I've given you the absolute documentation that for years they have been practicing using fiction to put forth their occultism. Do you understand? I'm not going to document it today. It's common sense. So when people say, well, it's just fiction. Well, what do you think witchcraft uses? It uses fiction to bring forth its lies. Now, this is sad. According to Barna.org, Barna Research, 2006, they report, supernatural beings, stories, and themes have invaded America's entertainment choices. This is why I'm wondering why you're sitting in front of that mess. What do you think you're going to find out there in the world? Get rid of that idea that you have to get something, that you have to participate in the world or your child is going to be deprived. It's so ridiculous. Do you understand that? That is so foolish. From movies such as The Underworld, I never heard of it. The Sixth Sense, never heard of it. The Exorcist of Emily Rose. All this trash is out there today. Television programs, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Ghost Whisperer, to books, Harry Potter and Goosebumps, and video games, Doom, The Darkness, etc. 3/4 of America's youth, 73%, have engaged in at least one type of psychic or witchcraft-related activity. Look at that, 73%. Beyond mere media exposure or horoscope usage. The research revealed that many churches fail to address the subject. Now, since my Bible says have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, then I understand my calling. It's to preach the Word of God and to reprove and rebuke. And one of the main things I'm going to reprove is this magic sorcery that has been tolerated among Christians in this day and age. And it needs to be reproved, exposed, and you need to be held accountable for it. And I'm going to warn you right now, before the Lord Jesus Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ, you better get that trash out of your home and you better take care of your child. And you say, well, what's it going to hurt? A little fantasy, a little fairy every now and then. You know what's going to teach your child? It's going to teach them there's powers out there. Superpowers, fairies. You don't need Jesus. You don't need the Bible. You can find power outside of Jesus. That's rebellion, folks. That is rebellion. So many churches are not addressing this subject. I'm going to address it today. There's a Mormon that wrote a series of books about wicked vampire devil's children, and it's a romance series. So now they're bringing the women into the gore. Isn't that something? She's a Mormon. So she's already a cult. See? So she's a Mormon. And those movies have grossed 70 million in the first weekend. That's where we're at today. I want you to know that this state of things was predicted along with some horrible judgments to accompany it. Revelation chapter 9. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. According to God, when He begins to curse the world in the tribulation period, here are the main sins that are found all over the earth. Murder. There's your baby murder and a whole lot of other murder. And what? Sorcery. Do you see that? That shows the whole world's going to be into sorcery. So, is it any wonder to you that 70 million can be made in one weekend as the teenagers flock to watch this occult satanic mess? You say, oh, well, it's not going to affect anybody. Then what do you do with the reports that say they're getting into real Wicca? If you say it's not going to affect anybody, then why does God say in the last days the whole world will be into sorcery? Somebody's lying to you when they said it's not going to affect you, it's just fantasy. Somebody lied. But I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to remind every child in here. You think you can mess with that stuff? I've saw friends of mine in rock and roll bands mess with it. And evil comes upon them that they cannot charm away. Isaiah 47, therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee that thou shalt not be able to put it off. Stand now in thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Do you think Adam and Eve said, oh, wow, that was a pretty good deal, Satan? We're still being cursed today for that one act of defiance that was a trick of the devil. Read the history of Faust when he sold his soul to the devil. You think in the end, whether it's true or not, do you think in the end, he said, oh, I got a pretty good deal. See, the devil will tell you, I'll give you power. But God says, evil will come upon thee. See, let's remember that. Let's remember that. Look at Galatians 5. These are things you'll miss the kingdom for. Idolatry, witchcraft, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You want to mess around with that?
No way.
You say, how much witchcraft do I have to get it? You want to mess with it? When God says don't be spotted, don't even have a spot of it. I believe God cares about magic and witchcraft. You know that? Because it's just satanic power. 2 Corinthians 6, wherefore come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The command was not just don't meddle with it. The command is not just don't waddle in it. The command is do not touch it. And He will receive you. So according to God, you mess with it, I curse you. You refrain from it, I receive you. Oh, the early church, they had this down. Look at Acts 19. Many of them also, which you see, they were dumb Gentiles. carried away into those idols. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. I mean, probably what's in your house that has to do with the devil's magic and the devil's children, if you really opened your eyes, you would be shocked. Some of the things you're setting before your children. Get you a hole out here somewhere and burn it. Burn it. Burn it as a testimony. Take those DVDs and CDs and videos and books and magazines and comic trash and all those other sorcery trash and burn it. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Wow. It's a sign of the word of God prevailing when Christians purify their house. And I believe it is a means to the word of God mightily prevailing. In other words, it opens up God to put a blessing upon you now because you're going to keep yourself separate from the world. And something else that God's very concerned about. Matthew 18, but whoso shall offend, that means put a stumbling block before him. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. There's only one thing that could be worse than dying that death. It's hell. So God's saying the punishment and pain of hell for one offense for a little one. One offense for a little one. One adult allowing because of your pampered, silly emotions, you feel you have to let your child drink of the world and you're going to go to hell. I didn't say it. I'm reading to you the Word of God today. So I believe there's a lot of Baptists on their way to miss 1,000 years of kingdom glory. Now, praise God. You can get warned and get your eyes open and get down on your face and repent and ask for God's mercy. But you better do it. He says, I'll have mercy if you'll confess and forsake your sins. I'll give you mercy. Amen. How did we get in this mess? First of all, there was a wrong reaction to Salem's witch trials in the 1600s. Y'all listen now. You have heard of the witch trials, where supposedly a lot of witches were burned by preachers. And this has been played over and over and over. And this one thing, the witch trials, the history of it, is what's been used by the devil to bring forth Harry Potter. If any mother that's foolish enough to allow her children to go to public school, if she ever says, well, we don't want Harry Potter read, she doesn't mind the humanism and the evolution, but suddenly now she doesn't want Harry Potter. Praise God, she doesn't want Harry Potter. But there's these women that don't want Harry Potter read before the classrooms. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody is going to respond to her and say, well, you're a witch hunter. See, you're trying to get Harry Potter out of here. You're just like those witch-hunting preachers that burn the witches. That is the mentality. Do you understand that? So, what we need is a right understanding of the witch trials. So, let me give you the facts and not the lies that you've heard in history. Here are the facts. Tituba, a Caribbean Indian slave woman, taught some girls that she was watching divination, New Age experiences, out-of-body experiences, and they said a man would come and take them on a broomstick with a pointed hat, and we would just fly all around. She led them into fortune-telling, all types of an egg in water as she would watch all these divinations. And so the foolish man had the idea that I could take somebody that's right out of the voodoo pagan world and give my children to her, and let her watch my children all day. What do you think she taught those girls? She taught them the divination that she had grown up with. Now, according to Charles W. Upham's Salem Witchcraft in 1867, and he also wrote a history in 1832, this man spent years documenting from trial records, and he gives a warning to future generations. But his warning is not so much, you got to beware of preachers. His warning is, you better not ever think the occult is something you can play with. That's his warning. These girls later, after playing with that divination, began to vomit and speak in men's voices and contort themselves to where, according to trial records and according to people that saw it, they said, there's no way that was not supernatural. The ability to speak the way they spoke and to carry it on and watch people be murdered. There's no people today are trying to understand how this could have happened. Was it something on the rye bread that gave them some type of physical problem? Right now, psychologists, that's one of their main concerns. What happened to these girls? Were they just kidding? Were they hallucinating? No, it's called devil possession. They were devil possessed from playing with occultism. Now, you've been told that witches were burned. Well, the truth of the matter is 19 were hanged. Now, what actually happened was these girls, filled with their demonic contortions and men's voices, devil-possessed, began to look around the town for all of the nice, obedient, innocent people and began to condemn them. See? So these people that actually died were probably good Christians, many of them at least, that died because of the testimony from devils. So the mistake that the preachers made, and the leaders and the judges in that day and age, the mistake that they made was they went up to devil-possessed girls and said, who did this to you? Was that wise? What do you think the devil's going to say? You think he's going to go condemn all the witches? No. So stay away from talking to devil-possessed people. And some of these charismatic groups, they actually interview devil-possessed people and say, oh, I'm getting so much information about the spiritual world. No, you're committing the same foolish sin. You show me in the Bible where they ever interrogated a devil-possessed person for information. See, that's crazy. The wrong interpretation of this history has brought about an age of toleration that errs on the other side. When Dave Hunt tried to rebuke people for getting into sorcery, they say, aha, witch hunt. They wrote a book against him, witch hunt. See, do you see how this is used? You can never, ever say anything's wrong. Everything goes. And if you dare lift a finger to try to expose anything, we'll say witch hunt. See? Don't let it be used against you. The actual history of the Salem witch trials argues for not less diligence in regard to evil, but more diligence in regard to exposing it and keeping yourself free from it. Do you understand that? That's what it argues. That man should not have allowed that woman to teach his daughters divination. But many Christians around the country do worse. They put them before superheroes and movies and video and indoctrinate them far beyond anything that happened. Now, bad always comes when children get exposed to occultism. Horrible things happen. Nazism came out of a revival of occultism in Germany like never before in the 20s. Do you see how horrible things come from children messing with magic? What does that mean the world is about to experience? The worst bloodbath ever imaginable. God forbid. Now, I want to show you something here quickly. Seeds of paganism have been sown. The first so-called fairy tales, and a fairy is a devil. The first fairy tales were not originally for children. There was a French man in 1697 called Charles Perrault, and he published a book of old pagan religion stories. So when you say, oh, I'm reading a nice little fairy tale to my child, no, you're reading a Bible from the pagan sorcerers that were in Germany and Ireland and England before they ever got Christianized. Do you understand that? You're reading pagan occult material that he revived. You say, why did he revive it? First of all, he revived it for adults. If you look on the internet, there's a lot of evidence that Charles and his brother Claude, an architect, were members of an occult society. There was a lot of that going on in France at the time. And so here is this occult man wanted to revive the historic occultism, the nature religion. He put out this book called Tales of Mother Goose. It was published in England in 1729, called Mother Goose's Fairy Tales. It had stories like Sleeping Beauty, Little Red Riding Hood, Bluebeard, the fairies, Cinderella, Little Thumb. I just read Bluebeard the other night and it about made me vomit. I've never seen anything so sick and gory and evil. Anything so disgusting. And all of these stories are just disgusting. They're gore. See, where you have pagan occultism, you have blood and death and horror. This is why you don't just have a story about evil. You have vampire. You have wicked, gore, evil, violence. Occultism leads to bloodshed. Do you see it? Occultism leads to bloodshed and gore. That's why these stories are so gory and violent and sick. It's not just me as a preacher saying that. Now, if you sit in front of the television every day and go to every single movie that comes out, then probably you're not going to find them very gory. I mean, this is just business as usual. But if you've got any degree of innocence and purity left in you, you can't read that stuff without saying, that's just sick. Why would I ever read such a thing to my children? This isn't a Christian heritage. This is a pagan occult heritage I'm trying to get to my children. It's not just preachers. New York Times had an editorial called Fairy Tales, A Dose of Reality. Everybody talks about, oh, what a fairy tale marriage. Have you ever read a fairy tale? I want a fairy tale marriage. You do? So you want a serial killer murderer to be your husband? These are fairy tales, see. She says, those who wish for a real life fairy tale romance might want to read their fairy tales again. They told of unions that were anything but sweet and loving. Charles Perrault's 1697 collection, known today as the Mother Goose Tales, featured cruelty, deceit, greed, murder. And not only that, what first opened my eyes to this is I bought a lot of old books for my children. And all of a sudden, I bought this old primer book that was, I love old school books, you know, I want to go back and basically get something a little more pure than what's going on today for my children as they're homeschooled. And I picked up Story Hour Readers Revised, a primer, and I said, what in the world is a witch doing on the front of this book? There's her top hat and everything. And they come to find out, that's Mother Goose. And I'm like, wait just a sec. Who is Mother Goose? Where did this come from? And you just take a little while and look and you find out it came from the paganism that was already in the land. She is a witch. In other words, what happened was once the adults, the occult sorcerer adults began to experiment with the old pagan tales, they realized if we can get children indoctrinated in these tales, eventually we can bring forth a revival of ancient paganism. And that's exactly what they did. Notice old Mother Goose. This is one of the Mother Goose rhymes, which is really spells. They are simply spells. But Old Mother Goose, when she wanted to wander, would fly through the air on a very fine gander. There it is. Mother Goose had a house that stood in the wood where an owl at the door and a sentinel stood. Why does Harry Potter have an owl? What is it with witches and animals? What is Mother Goose doing flying with a big black top hat? There she is right here. She's flying on top of her goose. See it? With her top hat. Now, don't witches ride broomsticks? There she is. What's going on here? Here's the classic picture of Mother Goose here. You can turn the page and see Mother Goose on her top hat riding across the sky with a witch. And there's a child right there with her. Isn't that nice? That's exactly what the girls in the Salem witch trials claimed, the out-of-body experiences that these witch men would come with tall black hats and would carry them on broomsticks, and they actually had out-of-body experiences. Here's a nice little Mother Goose rhyme. Cackle, cackle, Mother Goose. What do witches do? They cackle, don't they? Have you any feathers loose? You say, well, a goose cackles. Well, so does a witch. Why does she have a goose? According to witchcraft, witches have something called a familiar. They are usually cats and owls and dogs. Just like Harry Potter's owl. According to witchcraft, it's an evil spirit, an imp, disguising itself as an animal. And according to witchcraft, when a woman becomes a daughter of Satan and begins to make a pact with him for power, she supposedly, the devil supposedly gives the witch a devil that's her own personal devil, and it's disguised as an animal, see? And that devil is how she does her witchcraft. So it's not just coincidence that when you read in fairy tales, you read about mice and owls and cats and frogs and bats. Now, anybody can open their eyes and take a look and realize Mother Goose is a witch. But the witches certainly understand it. If the preachers don't understand it, and the mamas and grandmamas don't understand it because they love tradition so much, well, this is how I was raised. It didn't affect me. You sure? You sure about that? You sure it didn't cause you to loosen up a little bit with Saturday morning cartoons? Since you've always had Mother Goose and fairy tales about witches, you sure it didn't cause you to relax a little bit and allow Shazam and all these other superheroes that our generation grew up with, promising us power? According to Lady of the Earth, Aphrodite, witch, Mother Goose, this witch says, well, I thought, what intriguing little spells and verses. I looked to the source of these jewels and was astonished to learn that they were not only from Mother Goose, but published to the general public for hundreds of years. See, she recognized these are spells. Right in the middle of the fanatical Christian suppression of anything even remotely pagan are these and other verses. They were printed and illustrated in books that were lovingly read to the children of the time. She carried an egg in her right hand as she flew. My pagan mind jumped to symbolic connections between eggs and fertility and old women and wisdom. Listen now. How many people consciously saw a witch reading stories to their children? Did they know that she was passing along hundreds, if not thousands, of years of pagan wisdom? Even though we have been instructed by our most threatening authority figures, those church leaders, not to trust this woman, indeed to shun her, she is watching over and reciting to our beloved children as Mother Goose. Mother Goose is described as a fictitious narrator of nursery rhymes. She is the smiling old woman with magic wand, tall hat, and flowing cloak who rides through the air upon a goose, says Collier's Encyclopedia. The goose was sacred to Celtic tribes. Gula, the healer, goddess of ancient Ur of the Chaldees, is pictured seated on four geese as they fly across the ocean or sky. From India, China, Japan come ancient stories of young women riding geese across the sky. However superficially we detest the hag, she manages to stay in our midst. The costume of the witch is one of the most enduring for children and adults at Halloween. So she's saying, yes, there's this Christian heritage to hate the hag, but we have successfully put the hag, the witch hag, in the bedrooms of the majority of Christians in America. So the devil starts when they're young and works up with the media and the books and the things that you find. E. Dane McCoy, in the book Advanced Witchcraft, says the advanced witch understands the nature of myths and how they came about. And she can see the deeper secrets in them as well as in the fairy tales and Mother Goose rhymes. So they read these things and they understand, oh, this is ancient Wicca. This is ancient witchcraft. In the book Her Stories, African American Folk Tales and Fairy Tales, 1995, says, of course, the most famous flying witch was Mother Goose. Now, I have a question. According to the Bible, witches are evil. According to the Mosaic law, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, which will be fulfilled when Jesus comes out of the sky. He will not suffer a witch to live. The Bible says that whoever is involved in idolatry and sorcery will be immediately slain. If witches are evil, why are we presenting them to children as nice, sweet ladies? Here's your standard Sleeping Beauty, demonic pagan fairy filled with Catholicism. Feeling certain that what had happened was inevitable, since the fairies had decreed it, she touched with her wand, true love comes by fairy lot. Is that what you want your child to know? I'm going to expose it right now and tell you, children, there is one power in the world that is the highest power of all, and he's a person, and his name's God. If you want a happy marriage, if you want a blessed life, get right with him. But to fill little girls' heads with the idea that they can walk around, do magic, and that the fairies will somehow or another bless them and give them a fairy tale marriage, I think it's sick. I think it's serious. I think you ought to repent of it. In the 19th century, educators actually, not just the preachers, educators debated the value of fairy tales. This is 100 and something years ago. Do you understand that? Not long ago. They began to have a debate. See, none of the Puritans allowed this Mother Goose garbage to be in their home. Do you think a Puritan and a Pilgrim and a Baptist, do you think they would sit in their home and allow their children to be brought up learning about fairies and gnomes and elves and other devils? There's no way. It wasn't until you got to the 1800s that educators themselves began to debate, I wonder if we should use a fairy tale or not. I mean, it is witchcraft. It is ancient paganism. I wonder if we can get any moral teaching out of it. The chief argument by some of the educators was, well, it will cultivate imagination. Now, here's what I want to know. Because this one thing is used over and over and over to justify Harry Potter, Twilight, or whatever form of witchcraft they want to feed the children today. We got to cultivate imagination. Where in the world how did that become a moral thing? Where is that in the Bible? Show me from Genesis to Revelation where there's ever one command to cultivate imagination in your child. The truth of the matter is the educators responded by saying, in many ways, we think they already have enough imagination.
We don't have to cultivate it at all. What we have to do is tone it down and bring them into some reality. Let them play. Let them have fun. But let it be wholesome imagination. And then teach them that they can't live in that fantasy world. When it's time to clean room, it's time to clean room. Other educators argued, you're not cultivating anything. You're stimulating something that doesn't need to be stimulated. In fact, the true witches of the time, Blavatsky, in Lucifer magazine, they understood that you're not just cultivating imagination, you're cultivating rebellion and witchcraft. According to Blavatsky, she says, Mr. Arthur E. Waite has embodied in a beautiful cluster of fairy tales for children much of the occult lore. It may be strongly recommended to parents of thoughtful children on the ground that it contains the greatest of all theosophical and occult doctrines, unswerving obedience to one's ideal. See, this is the ultimate satanic doctrine. According to Aleister Crowley, it was just whatever you want to do, whatever you've chosen, go do it and don't let anybody stand in your way. That's why the movie Bambi, Bambi rejects his father and goes after to discover himself. That is the ultimate occult doctrine. Reject, this is what the Harry Potter novels are. Don't let authority, I promise you, it's indoctrinated from the first page consistently all the way through. Do not let any authority stand in your way of finding and discovering whatever your ideal is. Just go for it. See? So according to the occultists themselves, fairy tales help indoctrinate in children to do whatever they want to do without any wicked stepmother or any other authority figure to get in the way and just go do what you want to do. There was great confusion in the 19th century. It was an intense debate over whether or not these things could be used. You'll find it in Elsie Dinsmore, an otherwise decent book, Christian book written at the time, Christian fiction. But there's a place in Elsie Dinsmore where Elsie would not tell a fairy tale. She was commanded to tell a fairy tale. And she says, no, not on the Lord's Day. I'll tell you on Monday, but not on the Lord's Day. That was the confusion, you see, among some circles. Well, and of course, that's late 1800s. But that's after they've been indoctrinated in the fairy tale through education, see, for a few decades. If they were debating the value of a fairy tale being read because of its negative influence on children, what in the world do you think when you put fairy tales in movies and videos, the power of indoctrination that it has over children? It's amazing. To give you an example of the debate, let's look at Charles Dickens, who wanted to sell some books here. So in his Household Words, he gets into the fairy tale debate, and in 1855, he says, just as some people deny fairy tales to their children, others are the same, deny them sugar, which would help their perfect bodily development. Sugar, they say, spoils the teeth, and fairy tales are monstrous delusions, make the mind idle. The truth being, in the last case, they make the mind active. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Dickens. You were just as wrong about cane sugar drug as you were about fairy tales. You understand that? Felix Adler in The Moral Instruction of Children. Notice the debate is still raging by the time you get to 1892. They're still debating it. Felix Adler says there has been and still is considerable difference of opinion among educators as to the value of fairy tales. These are educators that have not yet resolved this debate. The preachers obviously were in the majority against it, I believe. But here's how the devil worked. Oh, I tell you what. He takes step after step, line upon line, because serpents are very patient. You can read about serpents, and sometimes they'll wait outside till the nighttime and then creep into the house and get the mice or whatever they need. They're very patient. They have an agenda, see. And the devil, being that old serpent, he said, the first thing I need to do is make public education mandated with government control. force children to go to school. And once I got these children in school, then I need to get a hold of the reading books so they will be indoctrinated in fairy tales from a young age. Then what I will do is when I want to bring full-blown witchcraft, I'll just simply say, what about these fairy tales? You've grown up with them. Are you going to say this is wrong? And they will be so confused, they won't know what to say. They'll be like a deer in the headlight. They'll say, yeah, I guess I did read those things. And if you wanted some instruction booklets for your children that were free from fairies and elves and devils and ghosts and all this other wicked devil nonsense, the New England Primer of 1777 and 1805, you can find it online. It has some Calvinistic areas, but you can choose whatever you want of it. You can, all of the letters and consonants and things like that and the beautiful things that they have them to read, you can go through and choose what you want to give to your children. And they're online right there, just waiting for your children to have quality reading material. It produced revival. It produced blessing in children. It's all there. Around the time you had John Locke, who rejected the fairy tale. The Puritans viewed them as witchcraft. But before long, you had some German brothers named Grimm. You've heard of Grimm's fairy tales. And they began to publish German pagan stories for adults to revive the ancient German occultism. But a few decades later, they said, hey, let's do what they did with Mother Goose. Let's take these things and market them in America for children. So if you went to keepersofthefaith.com, you can order right now the original, now listen to me very carefully, the original McGuffey Eclectic Readers. They're not very expensive. And you can get the original McGuffey. According to Keepers of the Faith, these are the pre-1836 versions. Listen now. All post-1836 versions are diluted adaptations used by the public school system at the time. McGuffey died in 1873. What you normally find, these McGuffey readers right here, I read every single one of them, went through every single one of them with a fine-tooth comb. They are filled with letters to Santa. They make poetic references to fairies and gnomes and elves. But they do it so discreetly, the average parent doesn't even know they're in there. See? If you look, these say, once you turn the page, they say on the front, McGuffey's Fourth Eclectic Reader. But down here at the bottom, you have a little word called Revised Edition. See? So Henry Ford got involved and a whole lot of others got involved in revising these. They said, oh, we like McGuffey, but let's make them more pluralistic. Let's add not just Bible stories, but let's get rid of most of the Bible stories and let's bring in the cultures of the world. See, so you want to take these away from your children and you want to go back and get the original McGuffey. And then you want to check those too. Because I have not been able to check them, but according to the debate, I doubt that they are. These just have minor references to fairies and those things. So I'm sure the original McGuffey's are relatively pure of those types of things. By the time you get to the early 20th century, if these were already starting to make poetic references to the occult, by the time you get to the 20th century, what do you think they're going to do? What? They've got a hold of education. They forced the children to go in. They've already allowed the seeds of fairies and occultism. It exploded in the 20th century long before any of you were born and probably before your mama was born. You understand that? That's how long this stuff has been in America. 100 years. So the Baldwin and Bender expressive readers for fourth and fifth readers, that's this thing here, 1911. It's filled with brownies, which are devils, Christmas fairies, fairies and goblins. So this is what they were reading in 1913 in your average school. This is the literature. Oh, you have some Daniel Boone stories, some Abraham Lincoln stories, some things like that, filled with fairy stories. You understand? You say, what does that matter? It matters. Because you've got children now. It's no game anymore. Knock, knock. There's no game. They're really becoming witches. It was never a joke to begin with. It's certainly not a joke now. Touch not the unclean thing. Then you had the Elson Primary School reader. This is very important because you've got a whole set of primary readers here. And homeschool mamas across the land are going back to the Elson Primary School readers. Just type them in and type in homeschool and you'll see how they're thinking, well, we're going to go back and get some nice Christian material. No, no, no. This is apostate material. Do you understand? I went through every one of them and I just want to show you, the primary is filled with Mother Goose stories and trolls and all types of wicked devils. Elson Primary School Reader Book 2 contains 10 fairy tales filled with magic, spells, elves, references to luck, and Apollo the sun god who changed a girl into a sunflower. Do you want your child reading about Apollo the sun god? It speaks of Christmas fairies, Easter rabbits, which came right from German paganism. It contains multicultural stories which normalize magic, like Japanese and Norse and Native American tales. And it finally ends on the last page with a poem showing how each day of the week is named after pagan gods. Nice homeschool material, right? Isn't that nice homeschool material? You want to give that to your child and then turn around and tell them, oh, well, we don't read Harry Potter. When you get to book 3, almost 300 pages of fairies, brownies, green jumblies, which they just look like aliens, dwarfs, elves, Easter eggs, a poem of hope to a Christmas tree where they're basically praying to a Christmas tree, magic, paganism, witches, and it contains only 2 Bible stories presented as fairy tales with all types of made-up additions. Welcome to Homeschool America. It defines a witch as a woman supposed to be able to use magic. Is that all a witch is?
No.
It defines magic as a power greater than that of human beings. Is this all the problem? So you're telling me that a witch is just somebody that uses magic, and magic is simply just a power greater than we have. How about magic is a satanic power used in defiance against God by a woman that wants to be a child of Satan and defy Jesus Christ. Don't you be shocked at what you're experiencing today among these children. Don't you be shocked. Before your grandmother was born, they were already forcefully mandating by the state and then laughing about it. Charles Potter later laughed about it. He said, ha, we basically got your children in humanistic church. Ha, ha, ha. And then he laughed and said, you know, in a couple generations, what are you going to be able to do? You won't even be able to have a Christian church in America. And he was the National Education Association leader. They forced before your grandmama was born. They forced her to read these things. So is it no wonder that by the time you get to 1971, and you got a little children's dictionary here called the Pyramid Primary Dictionary Series, you open it up, you've got a nice little witch, she's not a nice witch, but you know, they display her like she's a nice witch, riding, it's an old hag riding on a broomstick, and then it defines witch, a woman in fairy stories who can do good or bad magic. Any lights going off? Is there such a thing as good magic? According to C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, there is. There's good occultism. When you get to book 4, you get almost 400 pages of fairies. It's filled with so-called heroes, but guess how many Bible stories you have now? Zero. They're starting to get up to 4th and 5th grade now. We can't remind them of David and Joseph. And finally, 1913, Story Hour Readers Revived. There's the old hag right there. Except when you take a look at that picture now, they're not even trying to hide it. Look at the upturned palms. Look at the relaxed fingers. Standard Hindu meditation, witchcraft sign. Oh, Mother Goose saying, come to me, children. Come to me. What I want to know is there's anybody left with any manliness to do something about it. Anybody left that'll say, you know what? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. One last little item I'll tell you as we close is simply this. If those tares were already blooming at the turn of the century, we are in such a harvest of occultism today. If this was in public schools in 1913, what do you think they're dealing with right now? Friend, it's gone beyond reading about witches. They're actually experimenting with it, you see? They're actually experimenting with it in public schools. And what do you get when you allow children to do their own thing and teach them there's a power outside of Jesus? What do you get? What does the Bible say in the last days? They shall be disobedient to parents. And just a side note. There is a strange connection between occultism and homosexuality, sodomy. And you go look at those elves and see that they're androgynous. And you start looking at some of these things and you realize, you know what? There's this strange connection between homosexuality and occultism. And then you take a look at some of these Ken Barbie dolls. And look how tight he wears his clothes, like all sodomites do. Sodomites love to wear their clothes really, really tight, you know. That's part of effeminacy, to make your clothes tight. And Ken, he looks like a queer. And if you thought that was bad, you ought to see what the new Ken looks like. They let his veins hang down over it, and they put some nice peachy shirts on, nice pastels now. So he still wears them tight, like a queer, but yet now he has them nice and peachy. You understand? The new Ken. Metro Ken. Brethren, stand up and be a man. Amen? Let's purify our homes. Let's make Jesus happy. Yes, dear brother. Don't take long. Go ahead. Go ahead. Brother, you're right on the line right there, brother. Right on target.
You know, the only rule in Satanism is do it thou wilt.
That's right.
And hey, even Aleister Crowley himself admits to being a sodomite. But
that's right. He was a sodomite, a child molesting sodomite. And people say, well, come on, do you think there's any problem with a little fairy? If you're telling any child there's a power outside of Jesus Christ, friend, that's an abomination. Let's pray and let's repent. Brother Christian, come play and hopefully you don't have anything to repent of. But hey, we might. I've been surprised to see how this stuff can be right here in your home and you not even know it. And I'm expecting good things, folks. I'm expecting the Lord to bless us and the Word of God to mightily grow and prevail. That's what I'm expecting. I want to come close to Jesus, draw nigh to Him, and I'm expecting great revival to come from it. See? I'm not downcast and upset. I'm upset about the sin. But I have great hope the Lord's going to bless us. Let's repent today. Come on. Dear Father, we just ask God. And first of all, as we pray for our nation, Lord, which committed this great sin in the past, Lord, of turning their children over to the state. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. And God, I'm sorry for how we have compromised with these Disney movies and even these little books, Lord. Father, I do pray that every family would purify their home. And God, I thank you my children have never seen these things, Lord. And I pray more and more children can grow up learning that there's just one person and power in and outside the universe to submit to, and that's you, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. Please give the women, Father, in this church and across the land, patience and understanding as men lead their homes. And God, help us just take the time to get quality reading material. And Father, you've given us a whole book of songs and stories and blessed truths that we can teach our children, Lord. God forbid if they know of Sleeping Beauty and Mother Goose and have never heard of Amos, Hezekiah, Joseph. God, let us have sweet fellowship today. We love you, Lord, and thank you for your saving gospel. God, the hour is late. Come quickly, Lord. But oh, let us be found worthy in Jesus' name. Amen.